I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The morning stream is like a wet rag left on the freeway without its support on Patreon. Be like Kyle Grosbeck, Joe, and Bill Campanella and change that for us. Coming up on TMS. He died Monet-less.
It's all clothes and lady shit.
Rose gold on Airlight.
Water fountain.
It's a fancy bag.
Palindromic and nutty.
Hiking boy fatty.
An innocuous little fart of a movie.
These are not the fountain drinks you're looking for.
Shirtless dads holding babies.
It's Dig Dug Week.
I want to see the rear view.
There are three camels.
Being nearly car murdered with Dunaway.
Proving children horribly wrong with Bobby. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We can't be no normal family with him living in a garage and coming in a damn bedroom at 4 a.m. carrying hammers and shit.
Light off you one of these cherry tomatoes, but you got a hole in your neck.
The Morning Stream.
They wouldn't give us any more fish.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
Hello.
Welcome to another week.
42224.
Darn right. We got our palindromes all week long, my friend.
Yeah, look at that. So today, 4224. 42224, sorry. Uh-huh. Then we got 42324. So you're like, do-do-do-do-do. That's good. Yep. Then you got 42424. Obvious.
Yeah. Which is even crazier. It's both palindromic and nutty. It's just nutty. 42424.
Yep. Then we got 42524. Ah, it's just the gift that just keeps on giving.
And when we're in Vegas, Monday, week from today, it'll be 42924.
What?
So it'll still be our first day with the people.
Yep.
The visitors, the Ted Pooligans, yep. Will be a palindromic day.
That's Woo! Right. That's right. We'll celebrate in Vegas for that.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. I'll celebrate by riding the high roller wheel on 42824.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'll celebrate by sitting at the base of it and watching you guys go up slowly.
Hanging up there with Tina, who's like, nope, yep. No need. No yep. need to go up there.
Thank Me, you. Kim. No, Kim goes up there. She'll go up there with you. Cool. She always does. I'll sit down there. Mitzula's usually down there right around then. And Me, Tina, and Mitzula will just, you know, while away the minutes while you guys slowly rotate around a thing exactly. and get drunk. It'll be great.
And get drunk and have,
it'll be a lot of fun.
Drinks served to us, sure.
So we went downtown this weekend just for a quick visit. We wanted to see Nick. It's a long story, but he just got a new job. And so the job he's at right now is at this Allen Edmonds fancy shoe place. And he's not going to be there much longer. And I thought, you know what? Let's go down there and see him. We'll get lunch while we're down there and all that stuff. So we went down there. I saw something really weird. We are in an upscale. People in Salt Lake know what this is. It's down in the City Creek area. If you know what that is, it's like fancy shops, and there's an Apple store in there, and all these like fancy shoe places. And it's really kind of a boring place to visit if you're there for like nerd stuff, because there's no like GameStops or anything fun or toy stores. It's all clothes and lady shit. You know,
okay, yeah,
whatever, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. There's fashion mall, like a typical fashion mall kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's just not a lot of fun stuff, but it's nice, and there's
no
restaurants.
GameStop, no Apple Store, none of that.
No, it does have an Apple Store.
It does have an Apple Store, yeah. Okay.
Green on air light. No, green on air light. What would Apple be? I guess that'd still be red. It'd still be red, right? Still be red.
You know, it'd be a Bondi blue on air light.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
You did say Apple
stuff. I did. We can go back to 97 for that Bondi blue, though. Holy hell, that's a callback. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, anything that is an Apple color. Beige on air light would be another one, but everything was beige for a while.
Or a gold, rose gold air light. There you are on air light.
Rose gold, space gray on air light.
Yeah, I like it. So anyway, we're hanging out, and we go see Nick, and it's fine, and he's doing good, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And while we're there, though, this is kind of, an upscale fashion mall type thing. And there's a water fountain.
Water.
Where they got the water going, you know, squirting out and doing different shapes, and, you know, it's not quite Bellagio style, but it's a nice little thing.
Bellagio light.
Yeah.
Kind of Bellagio inspired.
Yeah. It's this cute little thing.
We have Bellagio at home.
Exactly. Bellagio on Temu, however they say it.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's this nice little water fountain. It's fine. Kids usually, you know, running around it, and it's just a thing that's in the middle of this thing and kind of whatever. People who have been down there, you'll know what I'm talking about. Well, as I'm walking by, there's a guy there in a suit. So this isn't like some homeless person or somebody otherwise looking like they just kind of wandered in. They look like they kind of belonged in an upscale shopping area. Yeah. So a guy in a suit sitting on the edge of this thing. Has a bag. He's been shopping somewhere. Didn't notice from where. It was a white bag. But it looked like a square bag with maybe shoes in it or something. I didn't know.
Sure. One of those. Yeah.
Fancy.
It's a fancy bag.
It's a fancy bag.
With the fabric handles that he's holding on to as opposed to thin plastic, painful stuff.
Yeah. It's not like a Target bag or something, you know.
Right.
It's
nice. Yeah.
So he's sitting there and he's wearing a nice suit and it fits well and his hair's nicely cut. He has a very short, very, you know, groomed beard. So my thinking is, oh, he's perfect for this place. This guy belongs in a place like this. But he's sitting on the edge of this edge of the thing. There's a whole like lip around the whole thing. You can kind of just sit there. And he casually just starts dipping his left hand into the freaking pond water or the fountain water.
Yeah.
And bringing it up and sipping it, drinking it. Just a little.
So drink it out of his hand even.
Yeah. And it's like a public freaking fountain.
Water.
Yeah. There's no way that fountain water's like straight out of the tap, dude. There is like that stuff's just like recycled, and who knows? There's like pennies in there.
People have been throwing their gross pennies in there potentially, and kids have been.
Right.
Okay.
In fact, I could see on the other side of the thing, kids splashing in with their hands. They weren't drinking it. Yeah. They were smart enough not to drink it. But this guy just casually bring up a little handful, sip it. Look around, check his watch, his very nice Apple Watch. He had one of the fatties, the hiking boy fatty ones, the ultras or whatever they're called.
The ultra, the ones, the hiking boy, like the more. But I know what you mean. I don't know what it's called. Is it just called the Apple Watch?
Apple Watch Ultimate or
Extra? Ultimate, yeah.
Extra.
One, the extra. Everything Apple is extra. It is ultra. Okay, Apple Watch
is ultra. Is it ultra? Yeah, okay.
You know, I can run this thing into the side of a wall and not chip the glass. Whee!
Yeah, the $800 plus one, whatever it is. Yeah, and he has this on, and he's looking at it, and he glances down. He's looking around, goes back in with his hand, slurps up a little more water. I'll be honest, I was like, what the? This is an alien. He's like Alan Tudyk style. Doesn't know how to act and not sure how to behave in proper society,
alien,
man.
Resident alien thing, yes, right.
Really weird. So anyway, I don't know what to make of it. I walked on by. We went to Johnny Rockets, had a burger. Everything was fine, but.
No, do they still dance on the tables and do like the YMCA dance and stuff?
Not in this one. Well, if they do, I think the only times I've ever been there, I've never seen them. I've heard tale, but I've never seen it. Yeah. Food's good, though. I had a good hot dog there.
Yeah, it's a good burger. They're thin. They're thin burgers. They're good, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's thin. It's thin. It's thin in a way that approaches what Freddy's does, but doesn't quite get there.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't get the crispiness that Freddy's does for me.
Yeah, which is all I really want, you know, wherever I go. It doesn't matter where I'm at. I kind of just wish for that, and they never bring it to me unless I go to Freddy's. But
yeah.
That was a weird thing. I'll never forget it. So to that guy, I salute you. May you ever drink. Maybe he's got an amazing immune system now because he drinks out of public fountains. I don't know. Hate to see what he does in a public bathroom, you know.
I mean, they still have drinking fountains? That's actually, I know for a while, like I remember going to places where during COVID drinking fountains, you'd always see them taped up with a white garbage bag or something, like with somebody took a garbage bag, put it over it, and then just spun masking tape all around it, like a builder's tape to kind of keep people from using it. Cause it was like, oh my God, this is how things spread.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they've, if, you know, at some point they took those out just because they're potential germ farms, or if,
I mean, once they figured out COVID was airborne only, I think they probably, I'm trying to think of the last time I saw one. I can't honestly say when I've seen a drinking fountain in public, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
So maybe they did take it. Maybe it's like payphones. They're like, we don't need these anymore.
Yeah, slowly disappearing. Yeah, I don't know.
They were already gross. Like the idea of you sucking on a thing in the middle of school, like seventh grade, and there's a piece of gum jammed up in the thing.
Yeah, always that. And there's some people who drink super close to the point where their lips are touching that slightly rusted metal spigot that the water is coming out of. And
yeah, I don't know how we Generation X may live forever because we are so immune to diseases. Because we drink out of hoses and freaking public water fountains. Well, not fountains. Well, I guess they're still called water fountains, right? Drinking fountains.
That
works either way. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We used to put a fake, we'd get the fake barf from the novelty store. And you'd put that little patty right there on the thing, and it would keep kids from using it. Like they'd go to get a drink and go, oh, there's someone barfed on it. But it was just us playing a joke.
Nice. Really nice.
Yeah, that's how we were. Big grats to a friend of the show. You know, we hear from Jeff Sire here and there from Canada. And he writes in all the time.
Canada!
And he had a little baby grandchild born this week. And I just wanted to just give the dude a shout out because he deserves it. Jeff Sire and the whole family. Connor and Riley are the proud parents. And it's little Isabella is the girl.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And I think Jeff deserves to get some grandpa time. I think that's great.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So that's congratulations, cool. Guys.
The fun of experiencing that. He's going to make it great. He's going to spoil him rotten, basically. Yep.
Now, if you know, I got a question about this one thing, though.
Sure.
He sent me a little DM about it and sent me a picture. An adorable kid. His son looks great, all that. We met him last year at Vegas. They came together.
Yeah.
And super cute and everything. There must be a thing now where if this just wasn't a thing when my kids were babies, but they expect the dad to be shirtless and hold the baby. to get that like skin to skin thing or something.
Really? Yeah.
I think that's a thing now, and I'm just not in the, I don't have the memo, because this is not the first time. This is maybe one of the last 12 photos I've had from strangers who's like, oh, hey, my son had a baby. Here it is. Here's a picture of the baby. It's always with the dad shirtless and no shirt holding the naked baby up on him. Now I get it with the mom. She just had it, right? You bring him right up. You immediately make that skin contact. It's important. I get it. But dad's sitting over there in his jeans and no shirt in the lounger with a baby. It's fine.
Yeah.
I just wasn't told about it. I didn't know about it. That's all.
I felt like I bonded with my dad just fine without needing that sort of that immediate skin to skin contact. I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? If it makes brand new dads feel closer to their brand new children, then I guess
I don't have a problem with it. I just wonder if there's any science around it, you know, like maybe something's happened the last few years.
I think the science is probably more for the dads than it is for the babies. I mean, the baby, you know, the baby's gonna get that and its food and nourishment from mom. It's gonna naturally just bond with mom more instantly because of that. Right. But maybe this actually is more, you know, gets the dads more connected, involved. Because, you know, back when we had children, Scott, we were pacing back and forth in the waiting room with a cigar.
That's right. It was the mid-90s, see? And we were just waiting for the kid to be born. Right. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Carter wouldn't have peed on me that time when she was two if I'd have held her earlier.
If you would have bonded better with her with something like that.
Yeah, that would have been great. Speaking of which, tonight on the Monday show, her sister Taylor will be joining us. We're going to have a double daughter, dad-daughter night tonight.
Oh,
on the Monday
show. I saw you mention that in chat. That's awesome.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. So, you know, going to hear some stories from the oldest and have her bring a little normalcy to the thing. She'll be here tonight joining us. It'll be fun.
That's cool. Any of the babies be, I mean, I imagine Van will be upstairs hanging out with Kim, but Phoebe's.
They might make an appearance, but mostly they'll be up with Kim. Yep. I mean, Phoebe's fully mobile and speaking English now, so she's just running around being a freak. She says this thing now where she goes, Carter, what is it she says? She yells in that voice? Phoebe. Oh, she goes, come on. Send it to me and I'll play it. Anyway, it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Brian, a quick look at history today.
Yesterday's history today.
Okay, just one I wanted to pull off of here. In 1976, this is a significant moment for women in journalism. Barbara Walters, or as we often refer to her as Ba-Wa-Wa, whatever we said.
Ba-Ba-Wa-Wa.
Ba-Ba-Wa-Wa.
I think that all came from Gilda Radner, who did a fantastic Barbara Walters impersonation. Yeah. In the
SNL shaped so much of our view of the world. It's just
really
the way it is.
Did. Yeah.
Anyway, she became the first female U.S. nightly network news anchor in the history of the medium. We've had some since. Not many, but some. Mm-hmm. But Barbara Walters, first ever. Is she still with us, is the question.
Oh, gosh. No, she died 2 years ago, 2022, 2021, maybe?
You are correct. 2022 is correct.
2022,
I'd forgotten about that. A lot of the 2020 to 2023 people who die, I forget that they died. And I don't know what that says. I don't know what that means. Probably something to do with the pandemic. I don't know.
Probably, yeah.
It says here she died. Had an open heart deal. Aortic valve went bad. So.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. But she was 93 and she did good. So congratulations.
Yeah, she was her unusual speech notwithstanding, her interviews were poignant and illuminating to the people that she talked to. I loved her interviews.
She was great. And she was on, wasn't she on The View for a long time here lately, like in her last few years of working?
I want to say she was, wasn't she in the first season of The View, and then she just got,
I don't know,
felt like she was irritated with the youngins that she was hosting with, or maybe it was then she left. I think she was only on the first season. Yeah, she created The View.
Oh, that was hers. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then she left it. It just was like, I can't stand Joy Behar.
Yeah.
Just said, I'm out.
Whoopi, you're in charge. Here are the keys, she says.
Right, yes. He said, no, there was somebody, I can't even remember who it was between, there was somebody between her and Whoopi, wasn't there?
I don't know. I thought they crossed over. I never saw an episode of The View, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I'd only see clips on The Soup. That's my The View experiences, anything Joel McHale would put on The Soup.
And that's still a thing, right? People, I can watch The View if I want to today. It's a show. Still
a show. I think it's still on.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know if like if it's all of the, like for a while it was The View, then there was The Talk, then there was the dude version called The Chew.
The Chew?
Which I think had a, like Mario Batali or somebody, like it had a
that makes me want to die. I hate that name.
Yeah, fortunately that's gone. 2011 to 2018. No, The Chew. Let's see. Okay, yeah, here's
Chew. That's
Carla Hall, Michael Simon, Clinton Kelly, Mario Batali. He was, I think he might have been the reason it was called The Chew, is because
Curtis food Stone, angle.
Yvette Nicole Brown was on for a while.
Yeah.
Was there another, let's see, I thought there was another one that really came and went.
You know so much more about this than I ever will.
Yeah, it's not by anything more than, again, Joel McHale clips on The Soup, because I've never watched an episode of The Talk or anything like that.
Right.
Yeah, Sharon Osbourne, Julie Chen, Sarah Gilbert, Cheryl Underwood,
Sarah
Aisha
Gilbert.
Tyler.
Sarah Gilbert from Little House?
Roseanne. No, that's Melissa Gilbert.
Oh, shit. Got it mixed up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Little sister, though, right? Melissa Gilbert and Sarah Gilbert?
Oh, are they related? I don't know.
Aren't they?
That's cool if that's true. That feels like a big age gap, though. Because I'm pretty
sure. It kind of does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Because I think Melissa Gilbert's like in her 60s or something now. Well, I don't know. Maybe Sarah Gilbert's older than I
thought. Sarah Gilbert was born 1975, so.
It could easily be then, 40s. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, Sarah's sister, Melissa Gilbert.
Really?
Yeah.
That's wild to me. Yeah. All right. I did not know that. That's great. All right, Brian, how'd Record Store Day go yesterday in the snow?
Let's talk about Record Store Day, because that's far better. So Record Store Day for me was good and bad. I had a very specific thing that I wanted to get. So Record Store Day, let me back up here. Record Store Day is this annual event. I think it's now biannual. They have it twice a year now. They've made Black Friday a secondary Record Store Day. And it's a way for independent record stores, so not your big places people go to buy records, which I don't know. I guess Barnes & Noble right now is the only place I can think of that's still around that sells vinyl that's a big box store.
Sure.
But it's a way to get people to come to the independent record stores, pick up some brand new stuff, limited edition stuff, but then also stick around and pick up some great used records and things like that. And that's what I do in the past. Oh yeah. Walmart, I guess, has vinyl now. So, you know, I've done that. This year I didn't. This year I wanted to get in and out of there, so I didn't spend any time looking in the bins that weren't the official Record Store Day bins. But I had one specific thing that I wanted, and then a few other things that I kind of wanted. And the thing that I really wanted was this. So, you know, I love Sparks, the band Sparks.
Sure.
For the last couple of years, they've had anniversary releases of their first albums with new quality, thicker vinyl, like the whatever gram pressed vinyl and blah, blah, blah. And clear and bonus tracks and things like that. 180 gram vinyl. Thank you. You can tell I'm just such a great Record Store Day guy, because I know exactly the gram vinyl. Anyway, so that was my main thing that I wanted to get. I also wanted to pick up the Lily Allen picture disc. I wanted to pick up the Garbage EP that just came out. There's a Kim Wilde album with all of her original, like Kids in America and Checkered Love and Cambodia remixes and things that's brand newly released. There were a few things on my list, but the primary thing was Sparks. Yeah. So I looked on their site and said, okay, there's a record store relatively close to me that I love. It's called Electric Cherry. It's in Old Town Arvada, and they sell cool vintage everything. So cool. And they're doing it. They open at 8, so I'm going to get there at 7, get in line. And then this other place that's a much bigger store, which is the one I usually go to after year, called Black and Red, they open at 9. So if I get in and out of Electric Cherry quickly, I can head up to Black and Red and pick up whatever I don't get Electric Cherry. Cool, perfect.
Yeah.
So I get my coffee. I get in line. There's already like 30 people in line at Electric Cherry. It's snowing. It's like blizzardy conditions or cold. It's just a little soggy and wet. I get over there. There's about 30 people in front of me. And Electric Cherry is a store that maybe holds, man, if you put 10 people in that store, you're kind of going to be playing the car shuffle game where like, all right, I've got to move the bus back to get the convertible forward so I can get this car out kind of thing.
Sure.
And, so they're letting in, they're letting in 6 people at a time, which works fine because there are actually 6 wooden crates full of Record Store Day stuff. So, you go in there and I'm watching, waiting for my turn to finally go in. I get in and I start looking through. And the first thing I find is this awesome, which I wasn't planning on buying, this awesome Gorillaz Cracker Island vinyl, double disc set, clear vinyl, different cover, extra. So a second album with a bunch of extra tracks on it.
That's what I was going to ask. What's is it all covers on the other album or remixes or something?
No, it's like a Dave Grohl, like a track that Dave Grohl is guesting on. And
oh,
stuff
no too. Way. That's cool.
I'll
have to go look that
up. Let's see. Captain Chicken featuring Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Controller featuring MC Bin Laden. Crocodillas featuring De La Soul and Don Penn. Silent Running featuring Deli Omotayo. Haven't listened to that. That might be... Oh, no. Silent Running was on the original. There's a new version of it. Tame Impala, New Gold. Anyway. And then it's got a poster in it.
That's cool.
Like a little two-sided one-sheet poster.
Got the whole crew on there.
Yeah. Yeah, somewhere in here. I don't know where it's at.
It's interesting. The cover's just got, what's his name? I always forget the name of the characters.
This is Murdoch.
Murdoch, right? Like, yeah. The wizardy dude. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I love that shit.
Yeah, I do too.
They're big. I'm a big fan. His records are his. They records. I always. You know, it's easy to forget that it's not those characters making those albums. But anyway, right. I love exactly. those. That particular record, freaking great. So good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So somebody in the chat room is saying it sucks for the, like, you're just trying to get limited crap and not supporting little artists. Au contraire, this is a way to support the little independent stores. You're totally getting it wrong. Like, this is a way to support the record stores that don't get all the attention, like Barnes and Noble and Walmart and stuff like that, where people are getting vinyl. So also picked up this Lily Allen, It's Not Me, It's You, which is the album that Greg Kurstin produced of hers, which is great. And it's got a Zoetrope.
Oh, look at that.
So as you have this on the turntable, it spins around and
what is it? What does it animate? Cool. I can't tell what's on there.
It's Lily spinning around in front of those giant letters that make up her name.
Oh,
so,
cool! So depending on how, because it's going to be a different speed at which the inner ring spins, obviously, than the outer ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I love stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Yeah, you can see, like, here's her sitting on her giant. Here's Lily Allen sitting on her giant A. Yep.
Her weird brother from Game of Thrones is behind it holding the A up. That's what I like to think.
Greyjoy, yeah. That's right.
I can't think of his name.
Alfie
Allen, yeah.
And then picked up this garbage EP. I still haven't talked to Iceworm to see if he picked it up, but if he hasn't. Normally they do, like, they give you a little ticket inside that's got a code on it so you can download the digital versions of the songs, and so you can have them to stream in your own library instead of having to transfer them from vinyl to digital. But in this case they didn't, but that's all right. I'm gonna hook up the turntable I've got and get them recorded and listen to them this week.
A lot of this stuff is streaming anyway, right? Like, you can find
some of it is, like, obviously Lily Allen, that album's streaming. There's nothing bonus on there. I don't know if the garbage EP is streaming yet. Eventually I'm sure it will be.
I wonder if the Gorillaz second half thing is available somewhere.
It might be.
Yeah, have to look that up.
But the Sparks thing didn't have an Electric Cherry. So I got out of there, got my stuff, bought it, got out of there, got up to Black and Red, still about 40 minutes before they were opening. So about 8:20, got up there. Mm-hmm. And they, because of the blizzard, they actually brought people into the store and just snaked them through all of they have used books and used records and CDs and cassettes and things like that. So they basically have the line snaking through all of the aisles. Mm. And I'm looking, it's like, all right, there's probably a good 100 people in front of me. Mm. It's going to take a while.
Yeah.
But I've got my list of remaining things. I'm looking for a couple things for KT Data in case he can't get them. And, get to the front of the line, and just like last year, the person who was maybe five or six people in front of me grabbed the one copy that they bought of the Sparks album, and
happened and again.
The one thing I wanted happened again. So, like, they had the Rumors picture disc, the Fleetwood Mac Rumors picture disc I was going to pick up. They had already run out of that. The Olivia Rodrigo. There was a really cool disc, an EP of Olivia Rodrigo and Noah Kahan covering each other's songs. Noah Kahan does this great song called Stick Season. And it's his big hit. And so they've got on one side Olivia Rodrigo covering his song, and then the other side it's Noah Kahan covering one of Olivia Rodrigo's songs.
That's cool. Really
cool.
I like that.
But they were out of that one. They had 20 copies of that one. These things are super, super limited. Like, there are the Sparks thing, there were only 1,500 copies worldwide. And this is a record store day, happens everywhere, not just in America. Yeah. But they were able to buy one copy. They sold it. It's like, dang it. The Yellow Electric Cherry, actually, I struck up a conversation with her. Probably if I wouldn't have struck up a conversation with her, I would have gotten to Black and Red 10 minutes earlier and been ahead of the person in line who bought the Sparks album.
Oh, man. If you could turn back time, you know?
Yep, exactly.
If I could turn back time. By the way, Cracker Island Deluxe is available everywhere streaming as well. It's got all those extra tracks as well. Not all that cool art, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah, cool art and the cool vinyl and that sort of thing. And and again, it's making money for the record, the independent record stores. Happy to support them. I love supporting the little record stores, independent comic shops, independent record stores, the comic book toy places. Happy to support that as well. So.
Yeah, places are great, man.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to play a game. It's time to add Dunaway to this call. See how he's doing. See if he's ready to play. Oh, I should probably log in. Let me do that real quick here. Chat, you distract Brian for a minute while I log in, because I got to I am not in. Open audience window. Yeah. There we go. All right. There we have it. Hopefully Dunaway's around and we can do this thing. He's not answering. That doesn't mean anything. Nope, he answered, so we're good. Good to go. Here we go. Let me play his theme music. Here you go. Brian Dunaway, what are you doing? Welcome to the thing. Woo. How are you?
Hi, Scott and Brian. Welcome. I'm glad to be at the thing.
Yeah, welcome to the
I'm
thing.
Glad to be at anything today after nearly being murdered twice today.
Oh, what happened? No. Tell me what happened. You get in a car? It was like a car thing or what? What happened there?
Jesus. It's like every morning coming down the little two-lane highway thing we got going to work. There's always people who are so excited about getting to work, I suppose, that they're willing to kill themselves and me along the way.
Right.
But anyway,
I had that guy.
So I got a camera and stuff in my car now. So yeah, whatever.
I'm glad you're okay. I don't want you getting hurt. You know, that would suck.
But then I took my little walk because I was feeling all stressed and stuff, because that's not the right way to start the day off, having somebody almost run you off the road. And then so I'm like doing my little walk around my little town here to take a little break. And then this guy like zips right in front of me into a parking lot. I mean, he was flying.
Yeah.
And I saw his license plate and I'm like, he's a judge. He's a freaking judge.
Yeah.
Got a freaking judge plate back there.
Yeah.
Gonna run me over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm glad to be inside with you guys.
Well, good.
I'm tired of being angry.
It'd be a real hoot if you had to do jury duty and that was the judge on the case. Wouldn't that be funny? That'd be a real hoot.
I point at him. I point at him and then I do my two eye things and I point at him again.
Yeah.
That's exactly, yeah.
Well, there you have it.
Nice. And Dunaway's already even won today. Like, he doesn't even realize he hasn't even played half-asses yet and he's already won because we're not going to watch Crossroads this week.
Yeah. Yeah,
for film sack.
That improved my mood by about 2,000% when I saw that. I was like, okay, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, and you definitely won that one. All right, let's explain these rules, Brian. Why don't you tell us how this game works and who's going
to
win?
I will absolutely do that. Welcome to the morning. Half Ass is a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of which are correct and three that are incorrect, like people's opinions of independent record stores not getting a great benefit from Record Store Day. That's how wrong that is.
I went to Record Store Day.
Did you? Nice.
Yeah.
Did you pick anything up cool?
They didn't have any of the cool stuff like I heard you talking about a few minutes ago. All they had was some stuff left over from previous ones. I didn't get there till like 11 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
And the rush had already been there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the record store that I went to, I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, well, I said, I'm going to order a couple of things. And the lady said, well, this is actually our last month here. We're shutting down. I was like, oh no. Man.
Are they moving to another location though? Or
that's what I said. And they said, nope, we're just going to be selling some of our stock online and that kind of stuff. And I was like, oh man.
Well,
one last record store day.
I was going to say, visit them as much as you can, support them, pick up stuff before they close and give them a good send off if they can't make it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, if you get any of those guesses wrong, by the way, you get 0 points for the round. Get one right gets you a point. Two right gets you 3 points. And three right gets you 5 points. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for the contestant. And I've pulled a couple lucky contestants from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to be here live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Alex Sheamus in Hayward, California.
Nice. Nice. Hayward, represent.
Woo! Hayward. Brian, you're going to be playing for Brian Cole in Kansas City.
Brian.
Kansas City.
Get a Brian.
Yeah, it's great. You should always play for the Brian of the listeners. I think that's the way to do it. That's great.
Yeah. Exactly. I see your comment in chat, Scott. I see it.
I'm telling them to stop riling you up, not the other way around.
What are you guys
doing in chat? What are you? I'm not looking at chat anymore. I'm here. Pay attention to me. Let's be present in the moment.
Here's the thing. The thing is, yeah, there we go. I was gonna say it was a good stall because the half-assed site was delaying for me again.
Oh no!
Who are they riling up? By the way, are they riling Ibbot up or?
Yeah, they're trying. There's a troll in there trying to get me all riled up.
Oh! I'm sorry. I thought you were riling me up about people trying to murder me today.
No! No, nobody wants you murdered. That's a universal thing. No. Yeah,
And nobody's disappointed that we're not watching Crossroads either, Brian. Nobody. Rest assured, there's nobody out there going.
I think Randy's just a little bit disappointed, just a little.
But he has no reason to be. He hasn't seen it. He has no idea. Yeah. If he is actually upset that we're not going to watch that, I would be shocked because there's nothing there. It's nothing to see.
It's a little fart of a movie. The good news is that don't feel like my watching Crossroads went to waste. I recorded a special bonus episode of
So Film Excited,
Site, which I'm all so excited. Of every all the Patreons are going to receive, where I completely go through the whole movie, 30 minutes, I describe every plot point and every ridiculous thing that happens in this silly little movie. And
I don't have to listen to that either, right? That's not on me, right? I don't have to.
You took a bullet for us, dude. You really did.
So much.
My pleasure. Yeah. Happy to do it.
I'm going to come kiss Ibbot. Next time I see him, he's going to get a Dunaway kiss. Mwah.
Yes. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get to your questions. Oh, should I tell people what they might win?
Yeah, that'd be good.
The winner is going to get a copy of Elder Scrolls III Morrowind, the Game of the Year edition. God, that on its own really should just be enough of a prize, right? Mm. But they're also going to get a copy of Hero of the Kingdom 3. And then our runner-up isn't going to go away empty-handed. They're not going to go away at all because they're not even here. But they're not going to go away empty-handed. They're going to get a copy of Farabelle, which I don't know anything about.
What is that?
Farabelle is news to me. Let's see. Farabelle. Farabelle is a turn-based strategy game where you start at the end of the story, develop your cleverness and strategic prowess and your inventive capabilities in order to survive. It looks cool. I've never heard of it, though. But it looks neat.
I think I'll just play Dig Dug.
All right. You sure will be. All right. Sounds good. Let's do it.
Let's get to it. All right. Your first question. Oh, I'm excited. Here's what we've got today. We've got art, music, and history today.
Oh, I like two of those things.
Well, let's start with art, which is also kind of a little bit of history. Great painters who died penniless.
So, oh, my Lord.
Six great painters who shuffled off this mortal coil without a penny to their name. Thanks, estate. Thank you, children.
You can't take it with you. I mean,
that's so, true. Yes, that's true. You know, good point. They all died penniless. Yeah. They left their pennies behind. Your choices are Titian, Edward Hopper, Claude Monet, Johan Vermeer, sometimes referred to, Rembrandt, and Vincent van Gogh.
Did you say Van Gogh?
I did say Van Gogh.
Okay,
that is actually correct. Van Gogh is we've all said Van Gogh and it's okay, I guess, because that's what people are used to, but
Jan Vermeer, Max Trollbot says I low key love Vermeer. Vermeer is the one who did The Girl with the Pearl Earring, and it's a very famous, very cool
And then Rembrandt makes my teeth white. Yeah.
No, Rembrandt, I think, had the nunchucks, right? Or did Rembrandt have the size? I can't remember.
That's definitely not right.
No, it's definitely not right if you're doing it by toothpaste. That's for sure.
Rembrandt toothpaste, is that still a thing?
It's still a thing. You can get it. Okay. Oh, yeah. It's named after him, I think. I think that brand is named after the painter. It's a little weird, though.
Sure. It definitely is, yeah.
It's a little weird, though.
It'd be cool if it was impressionist. It would like it. I guess Rembrandt was an impressionist, but impressionist to lighten your teeth.
You can really make toothpaste sound weird if you stop and kind of go toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
Taste.
All right. Okay. Well, you guys are playing a little bit more. I like this. You're playing a little bit more conservatively for your first round. Brian, you went with Vincent van Gogh. Correct. Although I know we might actually have some Dutch listeners who might be able to even refine my pronunciation a little bit better, and I hope they do. So Vincent van Gogh did die penniless. Jan Vermeer also died penniless, which Scott said.
Nice.
And our third one is Rembrandt.
Damn it!
Claude Monet were just rolling in the dough. He had actually had a safe full of gold coins that he would swan dive into, much like
Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. Claude Monet, you'd see him in there like, ooh, yeah. I love the ballerinas and the
has anybody seen my nephews?
Water flowers and stuff.
I mean, his name is Monet. It sounds like a way of saying money.
It does. He's
he died Monet-less.
Yeah, Monet-less. All right. All right, dang it.
Let's get to
But I guess that's the reason why Rembrandt had to sell his likeness to the toothpaste company.
That's right.
Makes
that's
sense.
That's right. Exactly. Yes.
By the way, you're ahead, dude. You got a point for that. You bastard.
One point. Skippy. Starting going to the question number two with a point. Let's go to our music round. And actually, very appropriate for all this talk about Record Store Day, because this can only really apply to records. Which of these were triple albums? You know, in CD, they can jam these things onto a single disc or a couple discs, a double disc set or whatever. And of course, streaming, it's all one pile of digitals. But which of these, when they were released, were triple albums, three record sets? Triple. The Wall by Pink Floyd. All Things Must Pass by George Harrison. Sign of the Times or Sign O the Times by Prince. 69 Love Songs by Magnetic Fields. Sandinista by The Clash. And The Blueprint 2 by Jay-Z.
So let me
69 Love Songs feels like a trick because you know that's going to take at least three.
Yeah.
With 69.
Well, it's 13 or 23 love songs on each album. On each.
Yeah.
So these were at the time, for clarification, at the time of their release. They were triple albums.
Yeah, okay. the like, yeah,
like when
they were released on vinyl. I'm trying to figure out why you're asking.
When you say triple albums, I guess I need definition. What does that mean? Triple album
comes with three
records, three discs, three vinyl discs.
Got it.
Not triple platinum or triple like
that. That's what I'm confusing is triple platinum. Yeah.
No. Triple like a three. Album, jeez. Three records in jeez. The sleeve.
Jeez, yeah. Ibbit. Jeez, you don't know nothing about vinyl. Jesus.
I don't know, dude.
How many vinyls do you own, Scott?
Probably three or four, maybe. I don't have much.
Do you have the Billy and the Boingers?
No.
Billy and the Boingers? Nice. Yeah, the Bill the Cat and Opus and
Let's see.
God, I've got a Target. Basically Target's version of the IKEA thing that I had to put together to put all my vinyls into. I should take a picture.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Records are so heavy. Everything I try to put them in.
They really are. Yeah.
This is going to destroy this thing.
Yeah. All right. You guys are both locked in. You both locked in on The Wall by Pink Floyd. Let's just get this out of the way now. No, that was a double disc set.
Damn it.
Two albums on The Wall. Sign of the Times by Prince was, single album, maybe. No, I'm sorry, that one was a double album. 69 Love Songs by Magnetic Fields was, as was Sandinista by The Clash. That's a great album with Magnificent Seven and Hitsville Hits UK and you got your Should I Stay or Should I Go and your Combat Rock and Rock the Casbah and all that stuff, but Sandinista, for my money, perfect Clash album. Perfect.
I don't think I. I probably heard it and don't know I've heard it. If I had to guess.
Stream it. If you have not listened to Sandinista by The Clash, put it on today. Stream it today. It is so good.
I'm making a note.
All Things Must Pass by George Harrison, which is our third triple album. First solo album, if you don't call Wonderwall Music, which was a soundtrack, because I think that was released while he was still with the Beatles. But All Things Must Pass was his first true solo album, and it's got What Is Love and My Sweet Lord, and I mean it does not have I've Got My Mind Set on You. I hear you getting ready to ask that question.
Nope, Scott. I already knew it's not on there.
You already knew that it's not on there.
Yeah, I knew we were good there, so we're safe.
All right, cool.
You'd have to go further into the 80s for that nightmare to happen.
We were, yes. Yeah. All right, let's get to question number three. Brian's still leading 1 point to nothing, but now we're going to go into history because you guys love history. Which of these famous people were named for a U.S. president? Your choices are Frank Oz, Rosie Grier, Andrew Carnegie, Jim Thorpe, Dwight Yoakam, and Woody Guthrie. Three of these people were named for a U.S. president. Three of them were not.
Just, named for named one? After. Named after one is that, is right?
Named for, same thing.
Same thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Making sure I'm not.
This makes no sense, though.
I don't want to read into it. That's the reason I ask, because none of these yes. are president names that I know of. Yoakam, Guthrie.
So I'm assuming what you're saying is the first name yeah. of the president that they were named after, and that's kind of how I was taking it.
Yeah. Yes, let's say that the first name
is probably the most likely
because you're not going to change your family name to be right. There's no President Yoakam.
As an example. No, although that's a great idea. Let's get him in there.
President Yoakam.
I just watched him in that Sling Blade. He's terrible in that. Mean old bastard in that movie.
All right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a douche. All right. I have not in real life. He seems like a nice guy in real life, but in that movie, he is a...
He's a douche.
Terrible.
All right.
Man.
You guys have locked in. You both settled on Andrew Carnegie, and then Scott, you picked Jim Thorpe, and Brian, you picked Woody Guthrie. I will tell you, Woody Guthrie, do you want to know which president he was named after?
Woodrow Wilson?
Woodrow Wilson, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Kind of our only Woody. So he's really Woodrow Guthrie. Rosie Grier, named after Roosevelt, FDR.
Damn it.
Oddly enough. And Dwight Yoakam, named after Dwight Eisenhower. Yeah. Dwight D. Eisenhower. Yeah. Those are your three. Unfortunately, that means that Brian, with 1 point, is going to take it.
That's all right. You deserve it, dude. That was a hard 1 point that you got.
I played the long game.
It was a hard fought 1 point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be really conservative. I don't know if it's better to be conservative at the beginning of the game or later in the game.
Do you think that's the way to do it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be I guess you, because then you know,
which way to go.
Okay. Then you know if you need to go all out for the third question or the second question. Yeah.
It's interesting because I've never really figured out a good strat to make sure I don't feel like I can stack the deck here very well, which is a good game because you don't want to be able to stack the deck, but, if that's the strategy, I need to use it more.
Well, that means Brian Cole in Kansas City, you're getting a copy of Elder Scrolls 3, Morrowind, Game of the Year Edition, and Hero of the Kingdom 3. You're getting all the threes. Congratulations, Brian Cole in Kansas City. But Alex Sheamus, you're not going away empty-handed. You're getting a copy of Farabel, a game that none of us know anything about. So please tell us.
Like to know.
Yeah. Yep. Tell us all about how that game is.
It's turn-based, and that's all we know. But I'm a big fan of that stuff, so don't worry. Good job, Brian. Good job, Alex. You both get one of these just because you won something.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Brian Dunaway, do you have anything cool going on between now and the next time we speak on Wednesday?
Well, since we're not really doing a film sack this weekend, I'm dig-dugging really deep into the dig-dug. So I'm going to be doing that, streaming it tonight, tomorrow, hell, Wednesday night. I don't know. I may meet all week dig-dugs.
Yeah, dig-dug 2, though? You're going to dust off the dig-dug 2, the terrible sequel, and play some of that?
I think I will. I'm going to break out my Atari Fight Stick, which somebody recently asked me, do they still make those things? No, I haven't found them anywhere. And if you haven't seen it, there's an Atari Fight Stick that's kind of like the console part of an arcade machine that just has two sticks on it and six buttons.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, they're cool.
Lucky with it.
I wish they kept making them. They're popular. Yeah. People like them. You can find them once in a while.
And for longest.
You can get them on eBay. Mm-hmm. It was a deal with them, right? Micro Center had some.
What's the deal?
It's like got their name on it. I think it was a exclusive. And now,
oh, really?
Yeah, now you can only get them on eBay and they're way too expensive. So good luck.
I'd be surprised. You? There's a Micro Center near me. I'll have to look and see. Well, it's not near me. It's an hour away, but it's always worth the trip when I go down there. I go there and I end up spending hundreds of dollars more than I was planning on spending. Like,
yeah.
That's what I'll go there because I need some resin for a project really quick. And then I go in there and it's like, I picked up a glowing keyboard because I didn't need one. I'll have to see if they have any new sticks. You'd need specific, what's the cable connection you'd need for that though?
Just USB, right?
Yes, USB. Oh yeah, then they definitely got that. Yeah. They'd have to have that.
Do you have, Brian, did you get the one, Dunaway, the one with the ball Or I can't remember. Oh, you got
I did.
Oh, I remember that one. Yeah.
They had two versions, and that's the one I really wanted because you could play it with just like anything.
Anything. Yeah. Centipede and whatever would be perfect for all that stuff. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
So much fun.
Yeah. Good luck finding one, everyone.
Yeah.
No I don't kidding. Think they make them. Well, all right then, Dunaway. We look forward to Wednesday, and of course, play retro this weekend. And when he said there's no film sack, there is a film sack. It's just not the one you all expect. There will be one on Sunday while we're out of town. Go right. Kiss our butts, won't you? Do that.
Oh, you.
Bye. All right. Oh, you.
Oh, no, you.
Oh, it's time for a break. We're going to take one, and when we come back from this break, Bobby will be here. We're going to do some science. So just stick around. You thought, hey, we're 4 minutes into 10 o'clock. Don't worry. He's still good for it. All right. He'll be here because that's the kind of guy Bobby is.
We're giving him a little bit of time to fly back to, you know, land on the runway, run into to his station set up with his microphone and his headset.
That's right.
And get ready to tell us some.
Got to do his 8-point wing check or whatever the frick these people do with their planes. Anyway, Brian, why don't you tell us what song we'll play before he gets here?
Yeah, let's get to an artist that we've played here on the show before, Lauren Minier. She has a brand new album coming out called Chasing Daylight. Comes out later this year. Does she have a date on this thing? I'm sure she does, and I'm not seeing it in the top couple paragraphs, but this is the first single from that album. It's called Real Me. This is kind of that blend of indie pop that I kind of like, that I, you know, tend to put on the background while I'm working and stuff that I really like. Anyway, from Nashville, now she's in New York City. Here's Lauren Minier and Real Me.
I get real mean when my feet hurt. It's the only time I don't like checking out customers, when my feet hurt.
Look how fat I am!
And we've returned. Tell me who that was one more time.
Yeah, that's Lauren Manier from a brand new album coming out called Chasing Daylight. That's the first single. It's called Real Me.
Nice.
Check her out.
Go check it out. All right. Let's get Bobby in here. I feel scienceless without him. Here we go. Ringing his bell here. Let's see here. We got a little intro for him. We sure do.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
That's the wrong one.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
I got two B clips, and I hit the wrong one. Hello, Bobby, not Bill. What are you doing? How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Fine. You're not Bob at all. You're Bill. it's good to have you here, man. He comes on here and does some fun science content. Yes, that's right. It's not always, directly affecting people, but sometimes it is. And it doesn't matter because we love science in any form that it comes in, especially when it spews from your mouth. So thanks for being here, man. How's it been? How's your
some science for us?
That's
buddy.
Right. We've missed you the last couple of weeks. How have you been?
Yeah. I've been doing great, getting ready for Vegas and just living life. It's pretty stressful. I mean, it is, but
life. Yeah. Life is hard, you know?
Life is hard.
I get it.
I have a request that I floated by you real fast that I'd love to get out of the way so I don't forget.
Oh yeah, let's do it. Let's do it now. This is perfect time.
Yeah. My daughter is doing a project for school. And so their school is really cool, and every fifth grader, which is the end of elementary school, they have to do what's called an impact project. And their impact projects are sort of like they have to do a bunch of research, and the whole point, they research and learn about something, but it's focused on helping either a community or finding a cause that you want to have an impact on. And so it just gets kids like trying to make a difference and stuff like that. And Zoe, for as long as any of us can remember, has always said she wanted to be a zoologist. She loves animals and everything, and she loves our zoo, and so she decided she wanted to help our local zoo by raising money and giving to help them with their conservation efforts. And so normally I would just let her do this on her own, but there's something about my daughter, and she doesn't have, and I don't know why this is, but she doesn't have a lot of self-confidence. And so she thinks, when you talk to her about this, she set a goal for $250 to raise.
Yeah.
And she said, she was telling me the other day, she said, but I don't think I'm going to, like, there's no way I'm going to get $250. Mm. I was like, well, don't second, like, you could,
yeah,
of course you
believe
can
in yourself.
Like, that whole thing. So I try to do that, and she's like, no, that's too much. Like, so she's really down on herself for some reason already. And so I decided to ask Scott if I could get on here and encourage everyone listening to try to prove, like, this is the only time you want to prove your kid wrong, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Heck yeah, dude. Yeah.
I decided I wanted to prove her wrong and see if we can make her not only meet that goal of $250, but maybe exceed it. So it's really simple. I just made up a tiny URL, and there's a donation thing. We came up with this really simple platform that doesn't take fees out of the donations. It's just tinyurl.com/helpthezoo.
Help the zoo. Okay.
Yeah. And she put this together too. Like, all of the little description is her. She put the... It's a little thing. Now, when you go on there, the first, you can put any dollar amount in it that you want. You just have to, you know, click on donate and say whatever it is, other. And also, it'll try to tell you that you need to tip. That's how they do it without fees, is that they just ask people to tip a percentage of the, but I did it without tipping. Just go in there and put other and zero.
Mm. Okay.
unless you really want to help out the site. But the point is that
the tip goes directly to the site, whereas everything else goes to Zoe.
Exactly. The amount that you donate goes to her, and the tip gets added on top of that. So it's not going to get cut out of the amount.
It's like a volunteer fee. I kind of like that system. That's cool.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like it. But I wanted to make sure people didn't know people knew you didn't have to do that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So yeah, that's all. That's the request. It's simple. She just loves animals. She wants to help them, and I want to prove her terribly wrong that she can't get to $250.
That's right. tinyurl.com/helpthezoo is where you want to go, everybody. And we'll smear this all over the place today.
Yeah,
because we not only want to prove her wrong, we want to prove her horribly wrong.
Yeah, we want her to be really so wrong. Yeah,
I want her to never forget how wrong she was about this, because she deserves a win. So let's do it, everybody. Let's rally around her and get it done. tinyurl.com/helpthezoo.
So, thank you.
All right, that's the science of helping people. Tell us the science of whatever else you brought.
A real quick add on to what you were talking about earlier about skin to skin infant bonding. I don't know a ton about it, and I was putting together the last details of what I was going to talk about today. But I did read an article a few years ago, that was written by a science-based medicine OB obstetrician, and so science-based medicine is just a newer practice about it's sort of like evidence-based medicine, but evidence is not always good evidence. So science-based is more of a like hard science approach. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is that this is good info.
I believe you. Yeah.
And the article basically said that skin-to-skin contact for infants is kind of a pseudoscience. Now, it's not ever bad to do it. That should be made clear. Unless you do it the wrong way, because then you can, and they tell you about this when you have, like, there's a proper way to do it so that you don't, like, increase CO2 intake for the kids and stuff like that.
All right.
But the idea that it's necessary and that it promotes bonding and all this kind of stuff is kind of a pseudoscience that was mostly promoted by midwives and lactation professionals, which, again, I'm not saying midwives and lactation professionals are bad. I don't think they intentionally did this, but there were some bad design studies that were made 20 or 30 years ago that kind of got jumped on excitedly by professionals who wanted to promote this, like, being connected to your kids. But it turns out that there's the evidence is not great that it actually
does anything.
Yeah. But I did it and I liked it.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. I'm thinking it's probably much more beneficial to the father as a way to just get an instant kind of bond kind of thing.
Yeah. You were saying that before. And I kind of was just, I guess,
reiterating
supporting that with something that I read a long time ago, but I don't know a lot of details. So definitely I'm not an authority on that. So,
no. Well, there you go then. A little something extra there for your, for your trouble. Yeah.
Rip from today's headlines.
That's right.
today's beginning of the show.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool.
What I did want to talk about today was an article I read that says, okay, so let me ask you a question for both of you, but I know Brian might have some thoughts about this. If you had to identify a trend in song lyrics today compared to 50 years ago, Brian, what would you say the difference is?
And we're probably talking pop songs, right?
I'm going to talk about five specific genres, pop is one of them. Pop, rock, rap, R&B, and country songs.
Pop has, for me, and I don't know if this is really true, but it's something that I feel like I've noticed, that pop has become very anthem, like empowerment anthem heavy. And you know, again, maybe it's the old man yells at the radio kind of thing, but it feels like a predominance of the lyrics, you know, talking about this is going to be great and you can do this and all that sort of thing, especially with female artists, which is great. I mean, again, to kind of support Zoe and the Zoo thing, which already has surpassed the goal. Like that. You want encouragement and empowerment, female fronted bands and female artists do that sort of thing. I've noticed that song titles have become shorter, if that's anything.
Sure.
but I don't, that's obviously not a lyric thing.
Well, simpler, shorter song titles kind of is a good segue to what this study that was done is saying. There is a researcher, Ava Zengerl of the Innsbruck University, found that lyrics have been getting simpler and more repetitive over time.
Mm. Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah.
And there's a lot more that they found in this study. But what they did was they analyzed 12,000 English language pop, rock, rap, R&B, and country songs, like I said. And they studied them between 1970 and 2020 and found that over time, lyrics tend to be more personal and emotionally charged, which I think kind of is in line with what you were saying about female artists and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, more personal and emotionally charged than they were 50 years ago. So, what they did was pretty simple. They used, like everybody does nowadays, they used some AI to help them with this. But what they did, they went and used a virtual music encyclopedia called Genius. Have you ever heard of that?
I have heard of that, yeah. I thought that was gone for some reason, but maybe it's still
music
around.
Genius, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what they did was they used that, and because it provides release, there's other, a lot of places they could go, databases they could go for lyrics and everything, but they used that one because it provided release year and genre information as well, which they wanted to correlate and stuff.
Right.
And they pulled that data and other data having to do with structure, language, emotion, and song complexity for these five genres.
They're probably using, there's some tools out there that I use for websites for when people are doing posts that rate the complexity or the language difficulty of a post and says, all right, it's kind of like, could a fifth grader read and understand this post? And it's probably using something similar to that to determine the complexity of the lyrics. And, you know, we're gone from the days with like Scritti Politti using the word hermeneutic in the lyrics and paradigm and on to girl, club, dance, fire, pitbull.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Single or two syllable words are everywhere.
Yes, exactly. Right.
But it's not hard to take AI and say, all you have to do is define what you mean by complex, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then get the AI to look for those features and
those
everything.
Markers.
Mm-hmm. So what they found were some interesting things that I thought would be fun to look at. There are two types of broad analysis that were done to the music. The first one looked at lyrical trends that were most present for each release year. So some of those trends were repeated lines of music, or rather lyrics, repeated lines. They found that all genres had an increase in the number of repeated lines over time.
Interesting.
But that rap had seen the most increase over time.
Yeah.
And
that makes sense.
That
I was just going to ask you
sense
that.
If you think about songs like that, right?
I was going to ask you about rap in particular, because it does feel like if as rap grows as a genre and becomes more mainstream over time, that's a technique to be very repetitive, right? It's a rhyming repetition. It's not just for stanzas. It's not just for, you know, middle of the song where you're going to hear a lot of the stuff twice or three times or whatever. You're going to hear it constantly. And so that affects the overall data, right?
Yeah, it certainly does. But and that's exactly why they decided to isolate the genres as well, is because they wanted to see, overall, but what are the trends per genre? And a lot of them trend in a similar way, some more than others, but there are some of the trends that they mentioned that are different. For example, let's see, the positive emotions, because they looked at emotional language, for example. Positive emotion in songs actually decreased in pop and rock music over this time frame, whereas rap, positive emotions in rap songs increased over this time frame.
That's interesting, because that kind of goes against the anthem, uplifting, empowerment kind of stuff. Yeah, like it's more like you can't do it, might as well give up. Don't even try.
But you know what I thought about when I read that was that around the 90s, you know, especially when like alternative and grunge music became more popular, it's and then you started to see from that came like emo movements. And so there were a lot of like personal and vulnerable trends in music lyrics. And so I think it makes sense to me after reading that and thinking about that, that there might be a lot of negative emotions in song, just because when people are just like, you know, tearing or like ripping their hearts out and exposing them in their music, you know, you're going to get
Adele.
A lot of that.
Yeah. Just say Adele.
Yeah, Adele. Covers it all. But right. I have to imagine that there's, I don't know how you quantify this, but there's a ton of music that, I guess this is quantifying it, but there's a ton of music that is just about breakups, right? And those are never happy.
And that never ends. Like that's perennial, right? Like every... Right. Are we getting more breakup songs? Are we getting, like, I wonder if this even leans towards, are we getting to more, to a place maybe where we're going to see more kind of protest songs? Like, I know.
Interesting.
It's always kind of followed the trend of politics and world culture trends. And like during the Nixon stuff, like there was a spike of protest songs, and during like, you know, the Vietnam War and Watergate and all that sort of thing. I mean, are we going to get to another one here with the political turmoil and stuff? I mean, we've been experiencing it for years. It's not like it's going to happen this year, this turmoil, but, but I wonder if that's also attributing to the negative trend, the downward trend of the,
it's funny that you say that. I'd love to see some like cultural and historical analysis brought in on this as well, because in the discussion they said that this study was definitely just wanted to quantify and analyze the trends and they specifically made the point saying that they don't have any like sociological interpretation of what's happening. But that this data does exist, and that there are definitely some trends that exist. We talked about positive emotions and how that worked. It's the funny thing is there is an increase in negative emotion in rap music and music overall, which I thought was interesting, because it's like rap music also had an increase in positive emotions. So it's almost like there's just an increase in emotional language in general in rap music. Country music had the least amount of negative emotion increase, even though all music seemed to have increased. And that might be, though, if you think about older country music, it's always been sort of personal, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's not about, it's more about what, you know, this girlfriend did to my truck, or this, I'm not trying to like do the very stereotypical, my truck, my dog, my girl, and my mom kind of thing.
But it's always been about the everyman.
They never, you know? You rarely get country songs that reflect on global issues. We're not going to get a Hamas, the new Garth Brooks song about Hamas or anything like that.
Right.
But it's, you know, and I think because the audiences maybe look to country music as an escape from all that more than fans of other genres.
And it's funny when you talk about how people look at lyrics, that was the other way that they decided to interpret or analyze some of this data. So that this was this first part that I talked about was all about lyrical analysis, right? They were just almost like language analysis. The second part, they went into deeper onto views of lyrics and characteristics of lyrics. Compared to release year. And one of the interesting bits to me in there was that they used Last.fm to do a lot of this analysis, because they could see with that platform, that streaming platform, they could look separately at how many times a song was listened to, but also you could apparently on that platform see how many times the lyrics were viewed separately from listened to. And they found that for older rock songs as compared to newer rock songs, people were looking at the lyrics on older rock songs a lot more than on newer rock songs. And the
opposite. Because you had artists like Bob Dylan. You can't understand what he's singing, so you have to have the lyrics up for
right.
For old and like, what the heck is Robert Plant singing about in this song? I think that's more of it than modern
that's
artists
funny. I
sing a little bit more clearly, I think.
That's one of the reasons I actually wanted to talk about this with you, is because I thought you might have a perspective on why some of this stuff.
Yeah, I do pull up lyrics. That's funny. I probably fit this as well, because I've got, you know, the Apple Music has got this great, the interface on it, you've got a little button where you can have a sidebar with the lyrics. Or if I have it on my phone, you basically just can say, yeah, put it on shuffle, play music, and then put the lyrics for every song as they come up. But if I were to tell you which songs I look more towards, because my I just do a radio station and it pulls up everything from, you know, like old Bob Dylan songs, Led Zeppelin, whatever, all the way up to things like Foster the People and St. Vincent and stuff like that. And I think I do tend to look over at the lyrics and say, what did he or she just sing? Probably more for the older songs than the newer, the newer things.
Yeah. And so they don't know why that is. They just thought it was an interesting observation. For country songs, it was actually the complete opposite. New country songs, the lyrics for newer country songs get viewed a lot more than older country songs. And so
interesting.
Why that is, I don't know. But it is interesting.
I think some of it is they wear the themes on their sleeve. They're not a lot of hidden messages in those country songs. And I don't mean that as a negative at all. It can be very positive, but if you hear proud to be an American, you kind of get it, right? Like it's not, there's not a lot of subtext there. But if you hear, we talked about it the other day, but you hear Springsteen do Born in the USA, there's a ton of subtext that nobody pays attention to.
Unless you know, initially, you're inclined to say, oh, Born in the USA, he's proud to be born in the USA. And it's like, no, it's about how we treated people coming back from Vietnam and you know, et cetera, et cetera. Very anti, or non-jingoistic song title or song lyrics.
Some of the, a couple last quick things is that they found that in terms of emotion, that anger was a big, there's songs use a lot more angry language in terms of, because we talked about how emotional language was being used more, and also negative, an increase in negative emotion, and anger seemed to be one that popped out a lot more. And who knows, that could be, you know, cultural, political, who knows
how much of it, gets swayed or how much of the anger scale is pushed down by like a single band, like Rage Against the Machine is so prominent in that way. How does it account for, I mean, I guess it's all averages at the end of the day, but there's always like these big impacts of one band or one genre or something that feels like it would skew your data. You know?
It's possible for sure. Yeah. They did, like I said, they did look at 12,000 songs. So hopefully that kind of minimizes the effect of any one sort of. But the existence of bands like that still kind of represents, especially if popular groups like that still represents the, in my thought, it represents the cultural position, you know, where we are in the culture, right? Mm-hmm. If they're popular, then they're popular for a reason, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. The whole, the idea is everybody think differently when you listen to your music today. All right.
Yeah.
Pay attention to what you're hearing.
Love to see, like, if you've got a link to that study, I find that stuff so fascinating. So if you get it to me, Bobby, I'll put it on quicktms.li and check it out myself. But if other people want to see it, I think it's really cool.
Yeah. If you're new to the show, quicktms.li is an awesome place where, like, a lot of the subtext of what we talk about during the show gets put. Like, we don't have this in show notes. We don't have this in other places. So it's a great resource to find out what album got mentioned, what recommendal happened, and what did Bobby talk about?
I'm trying to do better about that. I mean, we talked about some app. I can't even remember what it was last week, and I said I'd put it on quicktms.li, and I never did. But I'm trying to get better at, like, just keeping it up in the background and then adding, like, oh, we talked about this app or this movie or, or whatever.
Well,
and try
nine
and get
times out of ten, I am looking at some sort of a science news article or just reading a paper, and I'll just make sure to pass that on to you from now on.
Yeah, nice. Please do.
I have some good news. We have a total of $505 now.
Nice. You've doubled.
Yep.
Doubled her goal.
Doubled, but plus $5. That's amazing. Your daughter cannot see this, but anything but a giant win for her, you know?
Yeah, I'm very excited to let her know because I've been trying to. She was telling me all about how she thought, no, people aren't going to do it because people don't take kids seriously. And I was like, we're going to. You're going to be taken seriously. If I can help it.
We believe that children are our future. There's one of those uplifting lyrics from Days of Yore, Whitney Houston. But
Before everything got all angry.
Before everything got all angry. And no, you can't do it. But no.
And when they said we believe the children of the future, they were talking about millennials. You're the future.
Yeah.
That's true.
Because they were the kids then, you know?
I wonder if she would have adjusted those lyrics had she been able to.
I believe the children
go to Starbucks, get their latte, and send them on their way.
Yeah. Take that, millennials.
Oh, the board game room. I'm supposed to mention that before I go
to. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Real fast again. I've got like 8 different things apparently on my agenda for my segment this week. The board game room, just real quick. Anybody going to Vegas? We've talked about the board game room before. You can go onto the TMS Vegas. What is it? VivaTMSVegas.com.
Yep. VivaTMSVegas.com is correct. Yes.
And there's a spreadsheet link on there that'll take you to the board games that people are bringing and stuff like that. Check that out. But what Deucey, our board game expert, he wanted me to pass on that if you're planning to go there, and even if you're not, it's a lot of fun, you should go. But if you're planning to be there, you should be there right when it starts, which is what, 11 o'clock that day.
Hey, we get the room I think at 11.
Be there right at the
beginning. I'll try to get there about 12:30.
Be there right at the beginning because Deucey has a really great warm-up planned for everyone. He wants to play this game called Action Castle, and literally everyone can play it. It's very, you don't have to know anything about it. In fact, I think it's best if you don't know much about it at all when you go into it. It's called Action Castle. It's basically a stand around not really a board game, but a stand around everybody plays, everybody
like
RPG, it's sort of like everyone is a text adventure game.
Yeah.
All at once. And Deucey, if he's running it, which he did last year, he is the game and we are all users and we all take turns giving like the commands you would type into a text adventure. And then he tells you what happens as a result of your command.
Yeah. He's basically Zork is what he is.
Yeah. 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 And it's very fun. Yeah. So everyone should go. It's a good warm up because it's really easy and no prep at all, and you don't have to know anything. So.
Yeah.
Plus, and keep in mind, so that starts at 11 a.m. Just confirmed. I'm not sure exactly which ballroom they're going to put us in. I think they can tell me now. But this would be a good day to have a big breakfast that'll carry you through until lunch because we've got the ballroom until 5. So basically we have 6 hours, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the board game ballroom. And don't worry, I mean, you can leave. You can leave and go get lunch, but you're not going to want to.
But can you?
You're going to want to stay there the whole time and play all the games because there will be so many.
Do we get a bartender again in there?
Yep.
Yeah, because what better way to spend 11 a.m. in Vegas than with a nice cold gin and tonic? That's what I'll be
exactly
doing.
That's what I like. So
all right, awesome. Congratulations to your daughter again. This is great.
Yes, thank you. I'm very excited to tell her. Thank you everyone listening. Yeah. And anybody who's getting the podcast, don't stop there. Help the zoo. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, help the zoo, you guys. Every zoo needs a little help, and you could be the change that the zoo needs. All right, so get in there and get that done. We're going to our zoo the week we get back from Vegas. We're going there for a big birthday thing. And, you know, now I feel a little inspired to look around and say, hey, is there anything here we can do things for and see what they say, you know? Tell your daughter she had an effect on a bunch of lame adults. Tell her that.
For sure.
That's right.
Bobby, everyone go check out his show. It is All Around Science. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. If you want more great science content, Bobby, have a fantastic week. We'll see you in Vegas.
Thank you all.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
That reminds me, I got to call Schleicher and remind him we're not here next week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not a big deal, though.
I mean, I feel like he's heard about TMS Vegas. He was all, he was thinking about coming, too, but it wouldn't be, it's a good reminder for him, for yeah, sure.
I would have loved to have seen him there. That would have been great.
I would, seriously, like getting, we're going to have Bill and Britt there. Mm-hmm. Like, if we had Nicole, Randy, and Steven, we would have all of the regular guest, guests guests.
Yeah.
All the regular TMS guests as Viva TMS Vegas
yeah,
guests.
Yeah, guests would be guests, absolutely.
Guests would be guests. Oh, yeah, and Brian Dunaway, of course. I mean, I don't think of him as having a segment. He's got two segments every week. How could I not think yeah. of him as a...
Yeah, I would love to have him there, but he's just part of our life. It's hard to think of him in any other way.
It's hard, and, you know, we have Fletcher there. I think... We'll figure out a way. We got to get him there for 2025, Dunaway. Even if I have to fly to South Carolina and pick up everybody along the way and bring him myself.
Just drag his ass out here.
My God, how fun. Just thinking about that, it's like, what a great, fun road trip. Kind of like the movie Crossroads, which features Britney Spears, Zoe Saldana, and Taryn... what's her face? Doing a great road trip along with unrecognizable Anson Mount across country.
Yep, that we're never going to have to see because Brian took a bullet for the team.
I watched it for you. Wait till you hear my description of the whole entire movie.
Oh, man. It'll be great. We can finally put that thing in our rearview mirror and never think about it again. That is it for today. Tonight, the Monday show, Carter and I will be doing that here live, and also her sister Taylor, my daughter Taylor, will be joining us just like a little sneak in. Hey, there's the other kid. What does she have to say? And then maybe one day Nick will do that. I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Get the whole
damn fam family in there. Yeah, I'm excited about it. Yes. So that'll be fun. We'll get all kinds of, I'm sure there'll be a lot of dirt about me you haven't heard before, and I'm very excited to express that to the world. That is going to do it for everything. Frogpants.com/TMS. Go there. All the stuff is there, linked there. All right? You can find it easily. All you got to do is just go there, frogpants.com/TMS. And just know that if you didn't manage to get a ticket, the tickets are no more. They don't exist anymore.
If you didn't get a ticket, you ain't going to get a ticket.
You ain't going to get a ticket. Although, I guess if you emailed me, I could work something out. But I'm just saying, the main thing.
I hope. Well, yeah, this is probably my aunt and uncle, Aunt Barb and Uncle George come into this thing. I wonder if they bought tickets or they just assumed, well, we know a guy.
They probably assume that, and you know what? For the the legends that are them, they're fine. But if
they're not going to get swag, they'll get to come to stuff, of course.
Yeah, of course. In the same way, my two sisters, they didn't have to get tickets. They're coming.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, just know that, and everything's good. I've got help bringing all these boxes up. Thank goodness, because there's a lot this year.
Going to be very handy for that.
Yeah, we used to fit them all in my car, but this is a very different load than previous years. So anyway. Big thanks to Hammond and to KT Data and to, I forgot who's doing it. Oh, Norda, Rich Norda out in
cool.
Provo. He's helping us. You guys are all awesome. Is it Rich? I think it's Rich. Kim's been talking to him. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Brian, let's play a song and get the F out of here.
Okay. Ryan from Michigan, also known as Gaming Savant, wrote in, said, April 21st is my 41st birthday, so any time around then should work. Song Umbrella by Lauren Ash, like right into it. Speaking of songs with repetitive lyrics, you know, Rihanna's Umbrella is a great example of that. Ella. This is Lauren Ash from a single that she released last year. This is a new discovery to me, and this brings in a hard edge. Also, just realized both songs today in the show recorded by Lauren's.
Ooh, sounds
not
awesome.
Yanni's.
Yeah.
Not Yanni's, but Lauren's.
Yeah, Lauren's. All right, everybody.
Lauren's.
Tomorrow, we're going to be here tomorrow, right? That's happening. We're here all week. There's no reason not to tune into the show.
Tip your weight, staff. We're here all week.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing you all then. And tomorrow, please come back. We'll have, who's here tomorrow? I don't even know. Bill's here.
Bill's here.
Yeah, we'll get a little pre-Vegas Bill. That'll be fun. I want to get his take on what he thinks of Fallout, given his love of the genre.
Oh, I'm four episodes in. Tina and I love it.
It's really good. It's really so good. Yeah. Did you get to the episode where, let's see, where is that line? Is it this one?
Right off, you want these cherry tomatoes, but you got a hole in your neck.
Amazing. Yes. It's amazing.
First episode. I think that was first episode or second episode.
Second, I
love
think.
Seeing Ben Linus in there.
Was oh, my gosh.
No. It's not a spoiler at all. He's definitely in the cast and in the trailer, so
yes.
You're good.
Yes. Okay, good.
And he's, you know what? You could even say he's there the whole season, but.
I'm not saying any more than that.
But just in a way you may not expect. All right. That's it for the show. Thank you all for listening. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time. Bye.
more at frogpants.com.
Gobble, gobble.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.